You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table. I'm your host, Brad.
My name is Alex.
And we're here to talk about, well, today we're going to be talking about those businesses that we love that closed down. So this was actually the last weekend that Toys R Us was open in the United States. It got saved in Canada somehow. But in the United States, they're gone now. This was Friday was the last day that any of them were open, sadly.
Yeah, it sucks, too, because, like, I think last year, they were either last year or the year before that, they reported, like, a $1 billion profit or something, but then just, like, something happened, and they just tanked. I don't know exactly. I mean, I know the issue why, because, I mean, their prices weren't that great, but then just, like, for that much to happen in a year, it's just crazy, you know? Usually it happens over a time, but, like, they just announced, like, they had a really good profit, like, not even a year or so ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they were doing fairly well, and then they even tried closing down a couple stores to see if they could keep it floating, and just nothing was working for them. And, yeah, their pricing was not good, to say the least. I mean, they went over, you know, suggested retail pricing for a lot of things. Like, I remember back in the day when new games were $70 there, but they were still $60 everywhere else.
Yeah, and the thing was is that they didn't have that many deals to combat it. Because I know, like, another store that kind of ups their prices a little bit is Hot Topic, you know, where you can get something for $20 at Walmart or Amazon. You can get basically Hot Topic sells it for maybe $25 or maybe even $30 if they can get away with it. But at least with Hot Topic, they're always having, like, a constant buy one, get one 30% off. So it kind of brings that price down a little bit, you know. Or they have their hot cash thing. There's always a way to find a good deal at Hot Topic. So, you know, and I think Toys R Us sometimes had, like, a buy one, get one 40% off new games. But they would usually do that too late when other stores have had them for, like, $30 already.
Yeah, and they would always do them on things that nobody wanted to. It's like this collection of five items that everybody either already owns or nobody wants are going to be on sale.
Amiibos. Yeah. I remember almost every other week they had a deal on, like, Amiibos and Skylanders. I mean, it was just like and Disney Infinity. Disney Infinity was another one.
That's right.
I still think their downfall was Amiibos, Skylanders, and Disney Infinity, because every single time I went to a store, they had walls and walls of those three items. Like, they had, like, an entire section for Amiibos. They had an entire row for Skylanders. They had an entire row for Disney Infinity. And then they had, like, the mini gondolas in the middle that was filled with them. And I was like, dang, it's like, and they didn't sell. I think that they way overstocked on those. And I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of helped a little bit.
Oh, yeah, especially Skylanders. As soon as Skylanders started taking off, they had a three-aisle kind of thing in the gaming section at one of my Toys R Us stores dedicated to Skylanders. And it was crazy, because you'd walk down the first aisle and you'd be like, that is a lot of Skylanders stuff. You'd go down the second aisle and you'd be like, that is still way too many Skylander things. At least that's all of it. And then there's still, like, a half an aisle to go where it's still filled with Skylander stuff. And you're just like, I didn't know that there were this many of them at this point. How are they... Is there this many characters, or am I seeing repeats? You know,
it's basically like, you know, when you it's like if you work at one of those stores, so like, all right, we need to order some new Skylanders or something like that. So, like, okay, I'm gonna order maybe 10 of them. They sell out, we'll order more. Toys R Us is all like, how many can we order at once? Oh, you guys can order about 3 boxes of 60. Make it 4 boxes of 60 and we'll take those. Yeah. And it's kind of how I feel like how they did it is like, just give us all of it. You know, we're the toy store. We're going to get these kits. We're going to get them to come in and buy the stuff. And when they first came out, sure, you know, it was hard to find some of the stuff on the shelves. And I know me and you and a few other of our friends make jokes about, like, do you remember that time when we were paying like $80 for NES, the NES Amiibo?
Yes. Yeah, like Amiibo has a special place in the hearts of everybody here at 8-Bit Waffles, because Amiibo is the collector's item that got us all together and start talking as a group. And then 8-Bit Waffles kind of started from that group. And when Toys R Us was closing, one of the Amiibo that everybody was trying to get back in the day was that NES Amiibo that was a GameStop exclusive at the time. And at one of the Toys R Us that I went to, like during its closing down days, they had a wall just literally filled of NES Amiibo at 80% off. And it, of course, had to share it out to everybody because it was hilarious to see. But every single Toys R Us was just flooded with stock of these things that used to be so rare, but nobody wants anymore.
Oh, yeah. It was great, but also horrible. I mean, when they first started closing, you know, they had stock. I mean, surprisingly, a lot of the stock was gone before they even got to, like, 40%, you know. I mean, a lot of people were buying up a lot of stuff when they were, like, 10 or 20%. I think the games were gone once they got to, like, 30 or 40%. I don't know why. I think because when I went there, it was like 50% and most of the stuff was already gone for games. I'm pretty sure Nintendo took back all their stock because all their Switch games were basically gone.
No, people were buying them at 10% off.
Yeah. Same with consoles, which it's understandable. I still think that they probably could have waited, but you know how people are. I think when we went, we bought a couple small items for like 20% off, but they were cheap to begin with, so it wasn't like, okay, I'm not gonna fuss over an extra 30% on a $10 item. I'm not gonna worry about extra $3. If it was like a $200 item, 20% versus 40% is, you know, quite a big deal. But I mean, you know, $10 Funko versus you know $4 Funko, I'm not gonna go crazy over. And plus with Funkos, you know, those would go out pretty quickly. But I was there on Friday, and basically they had nothing left. The most item they had was a Pokemon puzzle, and there's like a stack of it. I don't know why no one wanted it. And I was like, okay, I'll buy it. It was 86 cents. It was 86 cents. It was a cool little Pokemon X and Y puzzle. It came like in a little Pokeball. I was like, okay. I was like, I'll get it. So I was like, that was the last thing I bought.
See, even going the last couple of days, I kept looking at stuff and going, yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't even want that. And I still didn't even really buy anything from their liquidation. I bought some fixture stuff from their liquidation. You know, the stuff that you wouldn't buy from Toys R Us anyway. That's what I ended up buying from their liquidation sale.
That's really surprising. A lot of people get those just because, you know, with the shelving and stuff. Because, I mean, some of that stuff is, you know, that's why it's there, because it's perfect for putting those products on it. So yeah. For people who, you know, buy Funkos and, you know, figures and stuff, those fixtures, you know, would be perfect. But of course, I think some of them are like 100, 200, sometimes $300, you know, because, I mean, it's a liquidation. They have to get as much money as they can, you know.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I was actually talking to one of the liquidation managers in the area, and he was telling me that shelving units really weren't even selling, because Toys R Us was asking for too much, that he didn't have enough wiggle room to, you know, negotiate with people.
So, and now is their downfall.
Yeah. So, and then from other managers, apparently when the kind of liquidation started, managers from some stores just up and left, no warning or anything, and just kind of left the employees to fend for themselves in the chaos.
Yeah, I mean to be honest, I don't blame them. I mean, yeah, they're a manager, they probably found a job pretty quickly, you know. And you know, I'm sure, like, with the bonus, sure, it would have been fine, but like, you know, you could be making so much more money with a job that you could probably stay at, you know, and get, once you get a job, don't stay at your current one that's closing. You know, whenever I worked at Sony Outlet, basically once we found out we were closing, I was like, all right, I'm going to go find a job. And then a couple weeks later I started at Best Buy. So, I mean, I'm sure once they found a job, they're like, all right, screw it. You know?
Yeah. But I think the funniest thing is talking to some of the managers and everything that were there, like, leading up to the final days, like, a week and a half left, and they're kind of just in this mood of, yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, they're still being nice to customers and everything like that when they're asking stuff, but at the same time, you could tell that they did not care whatsoever about the place. Like, they were ready to light the match and burn the place down.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't doubt it. I've been in that situation. It's not fun. I mean, you know, it's definitely not fun, especially with a big corporation like Toys R Us. I'm pretty sure even, like, when the news was already bad, they were still getting hounded by their, you know, uppers to do this, and this, which probably made it more stressful. It was like, all right, guys, we're closing. Why are you guys being a-holes still? I'm pretty sure with the managers, that's what it was. You know, they were still getting hounded even though the store was closing. It's like, this just probably just wasn't worth it.
Oh, yeah. I'm willing to bet that corporate still was, like, going for numbers and everything. Like, why isn't your store pulling in these numbers? Because we're closing and we don't have any things in the store to sell left. What do you mean we're not hitting our numbers? We won't have a job in 2 weeks.
Oh, and then even then, they wouldn't get their bonuses for months anyways.
Yeah.
It's
a terrible situation when one of these kind of stores close, because then you know, because everybody knows people that work at these kind of places that close down, and then they're just kind of left with nothing. Like, even when a retail location closes, but not the corporation, you know, most times the place won't even, like, try and move people around, or they won't have jobs at other stores to put them in. So people are just kind of left going, well, I guess I don't have a place to work anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that once the store is closed, and you're, even those most faithful employees are just going to be like, well, you know, sure, I mean, I'm losing my job. I mean, I don't care anymore. It's not like, you know, I'm not going to have hours in a few weeks, so why work my butt off to get, you know, good hours? You know, it's just like, I'm pretty sure the overtime was good if they did it, but, like, you know, that morale is just not easy to sit through.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you know that the company isn't going to try and move you to another location or anything like that. You know, when you know the company isn't going to put any effort into you, you kind of stop putting effort into the company.
Yeah. And even then, I think that unless you're like a manager or full time or something, like, you don't get like a severance. Like, you don't get like a severance pay. You don't get, I mean, I don't think you can, maybe you can apply for unemployment, but I mean, unless you were a manager or a salary person, you weren't going to get, you know, severance or anything else like that.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. But with Toys R Us, and I remember there was one thing that the manager was talking about. It was their sales since the liquidation announcement. They never had such a huge, you know, influx of customers coming in from the start of the day to the end of the day since liquidation started. They said that their sales were through the roof compared to, like, the day before liquidation started, even at 10% off.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, too late. I mean, it was too late. Like, if they would have done this, you know, a while ago, and not be a liquidation sale. I mean, they could have even did like a, hey, you know, we're rebranding. We're not going to close, but we're going to do a closeout. We're going to get rid of a lot of our stock. You know, we're going to, you know, do this, and this. And they probably could have got rid of a lot of their stock, especially of older products. Like, all you had to do was go through and say, hey, we're having a closeout sale. Here's a bunch of stuff we've had in our stores for years. Get a good price on these. If they would have even just done that, they probably would have not made all their money back, but they would have put them back, you know, in the right area.
Or just started off with, like, here's a after Christmas or after holiday 10% off everything in the store sale for 2 weeks. They still would have gotten a good influx of customers from that, because, you know, it would have been the same people coming in for that sale that the same as a liquidation sale. Because they'd go, everything's 10% off. We can buy the entire store now. We can afford it.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, like, every Black Friday or even Christmas, like, we would always see who has the best deals and stuff. And Toys R Us, really, they never really had anything. It's just all like, well, this is not, it's not that good. I mean, unless you're going for toys. I mean, the one good thing that Toys R Us had for it is that it was one of the very few toy stores around ever in general. There was, I mean, yeah, sure, Target and Walmart, they had a toy section, but, like, they weren't an entire store full of toys. And, you know, they had that advantage. And especially with you know, movies like Disney, you know, really putting out all these movies and merchandising and stuff, like they had that opportunity to really kick a lot of butt, but they didn't. And I don't think that it was because of, like, you know, Amazon and stuff like that, because when it comes to kids' toys, you know, these brick and mortar stores are the best thing for toys, because they can bring their kids into them. And, you know, especially when it comes to kids, you know, you want to see what you're buying them first, you know. So they had a really good opportunity, but I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, like, going to Toys R Us was an event. Like, you got to do it once every 2 months or something. You'd bring all your allowance and you get to pick out your toy. And, you know, it was a big thing to go to Toys R Us. And I remember whenever I would go on vacation with family and stuff like that, one of the best things about going on vacation to visit family in New York and stuff like that was we would always stop at the Toys R Us out there, and everybody would get to pick out something to, you know, play with on the way to and back home from New York. And it was always an event. It was like, oh, we're going to go to New York. That means Toys R Us. We're going to go to Toys R Us. This is going to be amazing. And as a kid, you don't have any other stores that give you that feeling. Like, as an adult, you can be like, I'm going to go to Best Buy. This is going to be pretty cool. Or around here in Michigan, we have Micro Center. So being somebody in IT, anytime I hear somebody say Micro Center, it's like, I'll go. I'll join you. I'm totally in for that. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm leaving my wallet here so I don't buy anything. But I'll go.
Yeah, and it's just like, and even as an adult, it was still kind of that. I still kind of had that feeling. I know there's a lot of our friends, you know, they kind of had this. A lot of us don't have kids, but you know, one of our friends, he was happy, you know, every time we went to Toys R Us, and he was sad when they left. And you know, back where I used to live, back up in Northwest Florida, the closest Toys R Us was about an hour away, which is about how long it is here. But back up there, I didn't get to drive around much just because of my car and everything. So when we did go out to like Pensacola, we would stop at the Toys R Us. And I think one time we went out there, my mom, my little brother, and stuff like that. And my mom actually bought me what is that fox from Pokemon? The starter fox, the one with
X and Y.
I think so. Yeah.
It starts with an F. I remember that much.
Yeah, that fox. That
it
one
was
right
based
there.
On like a Fennec fox, right?
I think it actually was called Fennec.
That might be it.
Yeah,
that would sound right for Pokemon.
Exactly, it would sound right. But yeah, she bought me that plush, and it was from Toys R Us, and she actually let me pick. I really wanted it because it was actually like it almost looked like a life size one, and I wanted it. Now it's broke back then. She's like, "Oh, I'll buy it for you," and it kind of just reminded me like when my parents would buy me stuff when I was a little kid. And that's just something. And that's not something that my mom would just buy me wherever. You know, she'd be in GameStop and be like, "Oh, fine, you can get that later." I don't know, but I guess it was just since we were in Toys R Us and she was shopping for my little brother. She's like, "Okay, yeah, well, here, I'll give you $20 to, you know, buy this and stuff like that." So it felt nice, and it was just like one of those rare things that don't really happen as much. And even when we over here in Orlando, when we would go to the mall, we would stop off in the Toys R Us every now and then just to see what they have. But it's just one of those places where you can just go in and see what they have, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Even
as an adult, going to Toys R Us was always kind of a, look at all this stuff that I've completely outgrown and I don't need or want anymore. And look at all these kids looking all happy. I wish I was happy again.
And there's always times where, you know, I may walk out with something small or something like that, but mostly just plushes and Funkos and stuff like that.
Well, I remember Toys R Us was one of the only places, at least around me, where you could find these figures called World of Nintendo that were a pain to find because they'd release them in waves that made no sense. Because it'd be like, wave 1-2 releases tomorrow, wave 1-3 releases next week, and then 5 months from now, they'll release 1-5. And you're like, wait, what happened to 1-4? Nah, don't worry about 1-4. You don't have to question why 1-4 isn't coming out. Why is it 5 months between this release when it was a week between the other two? Ah, you're asking too many questions. Just buy the stupid toys.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember you guys talking about that, and that was like around the time of like Amiibo and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then it was always like a like, and most Toys R Us for a lot of people are like 50 or like almost half an hour to an hour. Like no one apparently lived close to like a Toys R Us. It was like they're always out in like some out of reach, like, you know, drive. And it was I found that always weird that no one really lived close to a Toys R Us who wanted to go. So every time you wanted to go out, and they also did like, you know, Pokemon weekends where they would have like an event where they give out a free Pokemon card, and they'll have like Pokemon, you know, tournaments, and kids come in and buy Pokemon stuff. And like they had all this cool stuff too. So they got the traffic and everything.
Do you remember the old Pokemon events they would have during like Red and Blue and Yellow, where you would bring in your Game Boy, you'd hook it up to this machine, and it'd give you like Mew, or it would give you like a level 50 Charizard or something.
Oh yeah.
And those were good old days. That reminds me of the Pokemon Snap machines from Blockbuster.
Oh yeah, someone actually had one of those. I think someone was able to take that home, and I was like,
plenty of people have those. I want to track one of those people down, and then track down a cartridge of Pokemon Snap and be like, I'm reliving my childhood right now. This is everything I always wanted, because I never got to use one of those machines.
What up, guys? It's Darshan.
Yep, Darshan's here, by the way.
Hey.
He finally popped in.
Yeah, I popped in. It's been a minute. I just want to say that those that did go to Toys R Us, go call your moms and dads and thank them right now, because you guys were spoiled brats and you don't even know it. Because my version of Toys R Us was going to like Kmart and doing the Blue Light Special, or going to the Dollar Tree or the Dollar Store.
Oh, I did those too. Don't worry.
And you got like, hey, there's $5. You could get 5 things and be like, oh my God, 5 things. Oh, sweet. You know, and that was like my birthday because, you know, 5 things. But like any other time I'd go, it'd be like 1 thing, you know?
Yeah.
So like those, I never went to Toys R Us growing up. I never did. I went to KB Toys, which is like the discounted version at the mall where all the like off-branded stuff went to, you know, during Christmas time. But like, dude, I did not have that privilege like you spoiled brats did. So call your moms, call your dads, and you know what? Say thank you for the lifestyle that they gave you, because you know what? I didn't get that kind of stuff growing up. So be happy.
I actually remember KB Toys. I remember going there and always getting like the Pokemon cards that came out like 5 years ago.
Dude, it was like always inferior goods too. You'd get like that RC car and then it'd break like 3 days later because like the wheel would fall off or something stupid.
And it's funny too, because like right when the Toys R Us announced like the liquidation, like the guy who founded KB Toys, like, yeah, it's like now with this, I think we may come back this holiday.
Hey guys, we're coming back. Hey, this seems like a good slick deal.
The market's
like,
open.
He came back. He's like, yeah, I was like, we may open up a few shops during the holiday to fill in the void of Toys R Us. And it was like, okay, that's we haven't heard from you guys in like 15 years.
I mean, you guys are talking about, you're reminiscing of how you like graze the aisles and stuff like that. But I don't remember you guys talking about like buying anything. You're like, oh, I remember looking around and seeing and looking around, but not buying anything. And that's why they're in what they're in right now.
Well, no, I actually went there to buy every single one of the exclusive Amiibos. I would wait in line for 2 hours in order to get them.
Yeah.
And that would be
it.
I mean,
we go there for the slick deals, of course, and that's what's up.
Yeah,
because we know, course. You know,
but
growing
up. Yeah, we want to buy like the, you know, $200, you know, Barbie set, you know, for, you know, our daughters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, my stuff. We want to go and buy that stuff. We would go in for like, you know, the stuff that that only you can find at Toys R Us.
I just think that it was their own demise.
Yeah, they kind of shot themselves in the foot.
They did. It's too big, got spread too much, and you know, they didn't change with the market. You know, I mean, most people are window shoppers now, online shoppers. I mean, Best Buy, it's glorified window shopping opportunity. They even have like kiosks for Apple displays and stuff like that, and Samsung items. And it's more of a place to look at what you're trying to buy than actually buy it. And then you do like the online store pickup or the ship to home and that kind of experience. So it's like most retail environments are evolving in that type of fashion where they know that you're coming in to look more than to actually buy. And that they know that you're going to most likely go online to get that deal. Because you're going to have that gift card or that rewards program or whatever that's entailed with them to encourage you to get on their portal and purchase.
Yeah, you say that, but I remember actually back in the day going to Best Buy, checking out their gaming mice, and then still in the store using my phone to order it through Newegg.com.
Yeah.
And just going, yeah, that is the mouse that I want. Newegg.com, buy. Oh, I'll have it in 3 days.
Yeah, and that's why you'll see a lot of companies now have price matching. Especially Best Buy is the biggest one.
Target does it, And they match with Amazon. They match with online stores.
Mm-hmm. And I think that if Toys R Us did price match, they probably could have been a little bit better. But like I said, they just want to budge. And kind of speaking like, you know, what Darshan mentioned earlier, it's kind of sad to think that Kmart, of all people, are still in business.
Well, but they actually are evolving and reacting. They did go through bankruptcy, but they did come out and they did close a lot of stores, and they're slowly closing stores more. And, you know, that's one of the probably the other brands that might eventually and within this decade.
Oh, Kmart's going to go, especially since Sears is now starting to liquidate some of its stores.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of these like at home stores take over where these Sears spots are.
Yep.
Sears spots are. And, you know, it's sad to see all this go into yesteryear, you know.
I still miss Blockbuster.
You do?
See, I do.
Here's another thing. I never went to Blockbuster. I was one of those kids that went to Family Video and got the free kids section, the free videos at the kids section, and that's all I thrived on, okay?
No, I never actually went to Blockbuster. There was a store that was like
You're forgetting about Network Video. It's what you're forgetting about. Do you guys ever have a Network Video?
That's probably like the Family Video of our North. Family Video's, by the way, Family Video's still in business.
Yeah.
Because it was privately owned during the Blockbuster era instead of publicly owned, which Blockbuster went through an IPO, and that's why they failed. And that's why, like, some of these businesses, they spread themselves too thin. They get their, you know, their mindset on what the shareholders should benefit from and not necessarily reinvesting into the business. And this is what you see, you know, Circuit City.
Circuit City, there are some Circuit Cities still out there, though.
Yeah, but those are independent. There's like one Blockbuster, too, and it's independent.
Yeah, in Alaska. Yeah. And they have the, what is it?
The Twitter.
No, John Oliver from Last Week Tonight sent them stuff from like one of Russell Crowe's movies. I can't remember what
Gladiator?
It is.
Gladiator?
Yeah, I think it's like the jockstrap from Gladiator. They have it on display at the last Blockbuster now because John Oliver bought it through Last Week Tonight's money.
Is Russell Crowe in Gladiator or is it Gerard Butler? No, Gerard Butler is 300. Never mind.
Yeah, Gerard Butler is 300. And like looking at Blockbuster, I still kind of find it funny how they probably could have stayed in business if they accepted Netflix's deal.
No, because Blockbuster had their own path and they had their own deal too.
No. They were offered the chance to buy Netflix.
Yeah, I get that. But they also had a DVD to home program. And what was awesome is they still had their brick and mortar situation. So you could actually take the DVDs and go to the Blockbuster with them and switch them out for something else instead of having to deal with the mail. They had it unlocked. They knew what was up. They just didn't do it right. Oh, you know, I know they had the opportunity to buy out Netflix and all that noise, but they had a way to do their own thing as well, and they were doing a really good job of it. And I remember signing up for like a year, but then all of a sudden the price shot way up. And I was like, no. And that's actually when I flipped to Netflix, you know, and that's when streaming started happening with Netflix. Before that, it was just mail to home DVDs. And, you know, we were all in that era where we were just like ripping them on our computers. I mean, let's not lie here.
I never did any of that stuff.
I did
stuff.
All that. But
you still do that, Brad. Yeah. Shut up. Shut up, Brad. I know you.
He owns them now, so it's different.
Yeah, fair enough. But it is like, because back then Netflix had the better ship to home.
Yeah.
Whereas Blockbuster had the, you know, come into a store. So I think what Netflix's deal was is, hey, we'll operate your online thing to make that better, kind of like ours. And then we're going to be in your store so you guys can get all your business in store, but also promote Netflix. So it's going to be like a partnership type thing. But then he just kind of left and said, oh, you guys are never going to do. And then Redbox came out and then, and then they got double teamed.
Yeah.
And then Redbox and Netflix basically double teamed Blockbuster, and we all know how that.
They did do – they had a great plan to react. They just didn't execute it well.
Yeah. I still remember when streaming started on Netflix and going, I'll never use this. This is a terrible idea. Where's
my DVD?
I don't
like any of these 20 movies that are on here. I right. like there's like I hate these 20 movies. There'll never be any good
okay,
movies on
it's
here.
It's still the same story, guys. You're yeah. in the middle of the night before you go to bed, I'm like, let me try to find something before like to fall asleep too. And you're like, God, I spent more time trying to find something than actually watching it to go to bed. You know, everybody goes through that.
I give
struggle.
Up. I'm playing an episode of The Office instead.
Yeah. That's what I do. I fall asleep yeah. to Brooklyn Nine-Nine every night. Yeah. I don't bother
I'm
finding
doing,
anybody
I'm
else.
I'm doing Star Trek now. I'm on my Star Trek binge. Next Generation.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it, and especially with all this, you know, and then now we're seeing all these other streaming stuff coming out, and it's just like, oh man, this is, it's never going to go away.
Yeah, soon we're going to be all sitting here, remember Netflix? That was a good service.
I got one that you guys might like. We're not, you know, talking about movies and stuff. What about like books, like Borders? Hey,
I miss
Alex,
Borders.
Oh, do you have a Borders out there?
I did have a Borders.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I had one.
I think
in,
there's like
one in the mall.
One Barnes right. and Noble over here, like two.
There's a couple Barnes & Noble, and then the one that's popping up in place of Borders is called Second & Charles now.
I've seen that because they have like secondhand.
Yeah, it's a terrible place books. With terrible pricing, and every time I walk in there, I'm just confused as to how they're still in business.
Because kids buy it, and they don't know any different. That's why.
Yeah, like my thing when I was a little kid was that we had a Borders in the mall, and then right next to it, we had Software Etc.,
oh,
which
was oh my games, god
which was for oh. GameStop.
Oh that's so
wait hold
old.
On hold on
so old
here's the name for you Funko Land.
I remember that that's
I had a Funko,
was,
I had a Funko Land too.
Funko Land was the
Funko
place
Land. Yeah it was
Software
from Funko Land to Software Etc. to GameStop.
And they had like a huge layout of different books on various shelves with like PC Magazine and all that stuff. Like, oh man, I remember Software Etc. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm getting like neurological like flashbacks just thinking about that one.
I like how you're like Toys R Us. You guys are kids. Oh my god, this one thing.
Yeah. Well,
I think like
I
yeah,
didn't think about it. Like I forgot it even existed until you mentioned it just now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I forgot about it until you mentioned Borders because they were yeah. right next to each other. And then a few years after it changed it to GameStop, that's when we got EB Games. And the EB Games was across the street from the mall. But then GameStop bought EB Games. And then so now there's two GameStops literally within like 100 feet of each other. You could just literally walk across the street and go into the mall. And that was the other GameStop.
Yeah, that was like that at our Somerset in Troy.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when the buyout happened between GameStop and EB Games, because there was pretty much a GameStop and an EB Games right next to each other everywhere around here. Like, to the point that there were some malls that had a GameStop and an EB Games, like, across from, like, you could walk out of one of them and go, oh, there's the other one across there. Let yeah. me walk around.
They probably did it on purpose. Like,
every, oh, yeah.
Yeah, when they were probably expanding, they're like, oh, for every one they put there, we'll put one there too. You know, as a direct competitor, like CVS and Rite Aid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this is also around the time where, like, when that started, GameStop started becoming bigger, and when we started seeing more of our arcades going away. Because I remember in our mall, we had two arcades. We had a Diamond Gyms,
yeah, you're
and
right.
then we had another game arcade. And then once those both were, like size of, like, you know, Abercrombie and Fitch.
Dude, we had a Gameworks. A Gameworks that was owned
Gameworks.
By Sega. Gameworks is owned by Sega, yeah. And it was, like, actual arcade. Sega style in our mall.
Yeah, it used to have like the old Mario Kart with the like racing chairs and the steering wheel and everything like that, which you see those around
the
now.
Daytona experience
pretty much, yeah,
the
for Mario
driving
Kart.
Simulation Daytona back in the day. DDR was huge.
Oh yeah,
way
oh, yeah.
back
oh,
then
that, yeah
this that is was, like early 2000s for us.
Yeah, I remember the UFO machines were huge in those as well, because it'd be the only place you could get like Sonic plushes and kind of stuff like that.
UFO,
those UFO.
Was it like Crane? Or?
Yeah, the Crane games.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they were called UFO catchers.
Oh.
Yeah, because gosh. The little thing was shaped like a UFO, the little crane.
Ah.
So, yeah. And yeah, I miss Gameworks because it was two stories too.
It's so funny. When I was I do IT now for a living, but when I was a kid, I was learning web design like in Front Page and like in the eighth grade or ninth grade. And I'd get the email blast from Gameworks on, you know, the coupon for like an hour free gameplay. And I just like modify the HTML, print it out, and I just have a never expiring coupon. And then I'd like teach all my friends how to do it. I mean, I'm sorry, GameWorks. I'm sorry for putting you out of business. If you know, I'll hook you up sometime later. You know, I promise I'll make it up to you. But
I know you guys are defunct now and you're no longer around and Sega's kind of gone through some bad times recently. But you know what? I'll make it up to you sometime.
Well, I'll be honest. I think part of it was my problem. It was me, you know, like. Anyways, like, so we had never expiring coupons to do 1 hour free gameplay there, and I was like the DDR master for like several months.
This is my machine. I own it now legally.
I remember when my arcade went out, that's when they started selling off like a lot of the game art cabinets. God, if I wasn't 12 years old, I would have had like $600 to buy like the Marvel versus Capcom 2 arcade cabinet. They had like Mortal Kombat. I think they even sold the DDR, I think, is still there. That's like the one thing. They have an arcade, but it's mostly ticketed stuff. And I think they still have that DDR just because of how popular it is. But then, which is go to Japan. You know, where they have an arcade every two blocks.
Oh, yeah. LA's, Koreatown.
Ah, yeah.
Those underground arcades are amazing.
There's one down in Ann Arbor near us that's pretty good.
Yeah, you'll see a few small ones.
And then
now,
you got the very retro ones, like in Ready Player One and near Detroit.
Yeah, I still have to go there.
Ready Player One bar. Oh, it's all pristine, like super old school arcades like Galaga, Donkey Kong, even like Michael Jackson's like Motown. It's weird. Like,
yeah,
all the weird
I still
classics.
Need to go there.
Yeah.
Man, I must say, over here at Disney, at Disney Springs over here, they had a place called Disney Quest, and it was like four or five stories, and all they had was they had arcade cabinets, basically anything ranging from Contra to those side scrolling airplane games. They had like all old school games, but then they closed it last year.
Oh,
that
really?
Was awful.
I remember going there in like 2002 because I was in like the U.S. First Robotics, and like they do the thing in Orlando every year, and they give us an opportunity to go to Disney Quest, and there's like all these cool games.
Yeah, and
I remember there was like a Toy Story game there too. It was really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And it wasn't a bad price, too. I mean, if like when it gets closer to close, they would be like half off. But even half off, it's only like maybe $15-$20. And you get unlimited games. And it was really cool, too. And like and they also had stuff where they could teach you how to draw Disney stuff. And it was cool. But then I think they're going to replace it with like NBA Experience or some stupid crap like that, because it's a big building. And they're going to replace it with like a ESPN or NBA Experience. I mean, they still haven't built it, but I don't know what they're going to put in there now. But that was a cool thing that
I heard recently that I think the FTC or FCC approved the whole Disney Fox merging. Not the actual thing, but it's on its way to approval.
Oh, it's been in that stage for a while, and Comcast keeps going, no, we're going to make an offer, and Fox keeps going, stop it, we're doing this.
Yeah, I think the only reason why they haven't finalized it yet, because I think they said that there's one thing that Disney can't keep.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's Fox Sports.
Yeah, the actual sports and something else. But they said once you agree to that, it's theirs.
Yeah.
You know, so that's coming very close. And then this just happened after a few weeks after when they approved the Warner and AT&T merger.
That's
because
right.
Because the biggest – the reason why it took so long for
that?
The Fox.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, that was the reason why it took so long for the Disney thing to happen, was because they wanted to see.
They wanted that to happen first before that happened.
They wanted to see if the government was going to approve the. Because the AT&T and Warner has been in court for a year now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and once they approved that, all right, here's, you know, $65 billion, and then Comcast did like seventy something, and then Disney's like, here's like $80 billion, and then like, and this is all stocks, and then Comcast is trying to do straight up cash, and then you know, we still have disconnects every 2 days for our internet.
Well, that's different. I know that the
I know
the cables
know.
Got cut. Okay, so I want to ask you guys a repressed childhood memory question. Okay, you might have to think about this one for a second.
I know this is gonna.
Okay, you remember going to the toy store with your mommy or daddy and sitting in the shopping cart and, you know, trying to get the toy that you want, but they won't give you the toy that you want. What was the first time or the first toy that you at least remember right now where you cried to get what you wanted and actually got it.
Oh, I got this. You that?
Okay, okay, okay.
Wait, and actually got it? Never happened.
Never happened. For real.
Like, talk about like
Wait. Like, what I'm saying is, like, when did you realize that, like, manipulation was a possible aspect in getting what you wanted?
In my family, it never worked.
Never worked for even as a young 3-year-old or 2-year-old or anything. You sure on that?
I'm 100% sure. Oh. You can ask everyone in my family. That never flew.
But, I mean, at least you got the privilege of going to Toys R Us and doing all that stuff anyway. So.
You might have been crying the entire time in there, and you wouldn't get anything you wanted, but you at least got to go.
So, for me, normally I wouldn't get stuff, like, right then. Sometimes they would surprise me for, like, Christmas, you know?
How old are you when you're thinking about this?
The earliest one I remember, because my mom never lets it go, I think I was somewhere around three or four or five. We went to Toys R Us, and I was
four or five. Ooh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Early for me. Okay.
Yeah, and I was a big Barney fan. I like Barney the dinosaur, and I wanted like a big, you know, purple, you know, the big purple dinosaur, and you know they wouldn't give it to me, but they ended up giving it to me after I think I made a scene in the store.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
What was the scene in the store?
My mom, she never lets it go. That's one story she loves telling people, especially with Barney. And I actually think I went to my grandparents, I think, a couple years ago for Christmas. And my grandpa brought a bunch of stuff down from the attic. And then one of the things was like a Barney fanny pack I used to have when I was like 6 years old. It was around that age. I don't remember what it was, but I was really young. And I was like, oh, I remember this.
You want to know how I know you grew up in the 90s? You just said the words Barney fanny pack.
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
Yep.
Okay, so for me, I was like 7 years old. I was at Meijer, and I was like at the video game section near the board game section because it's like one aisle next to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then like one of those end caps, there was like a discount clearance thing. I don't know why I wanted it, but I wanted it. And it was like this Nickelodeon branded, like it wasn't Silly Putty, but it was GAC.
Oh, I remember.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it was on clearance. It was like $3 or whatever. And I was just like, this is cool and I want it. And it's not Silly Putty. And I'm like, you know, you can like do a bunch of cool stuff. I don't know why I wanted it.
You could put it on a newspaper and peel it up.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was. It was like you could put on the newspaper and actually peel it up, and it did a lot better job apparently than Silly Putty ever did. And
yeah,
I was just, I don't know why, I was entangled by this stupid little thing that I wanted so bad. And I was like, she's like, no, I'm not giving it to you. I was like, maybe if I just sneak it into the cart and when we get to the checkout, you know, she'll, you know, maybe slip it through and not say a big deal or nothing. But kind of didn't happen. She kind of put it away. And then I like, you know, put it back onto the rotating belt thing and then kind of cried a little in front of the cashier there, and she's like, okay, screw it, I'll just buy it, you know.
I'm not questioning.
So I'm sorry, mommy, I really am, if you ever hear this, but you know, it was the one time I ever did something like that. But
yeah, it never worked for me whatsoever.
It was the one time that it did. I got one. That's it.
You got one. You also got beat up when you got home that day, but you know, you got your slime.
My little brother, my baby brother, he'll turn 5 this December. Every time we go into the store, I can never say no to him. And like my mom, I always come in and is like, wait. My mom was like, wait a second, we didn't buy him that sword. I'm like, well, about that. Like every single time, Amber's all like, Alex, don't do this. I'm like, I can't say no. I was like, I remember being told no all the time. And I was, and like, I'd always buy him like the cheap, you know, $5 stuff. So I didn't really care. But like, God, my little brother, he knew how to, he never cried. But he'd be like, Alex is like, can I have this gun? Can I have this sword? I'm like, God. And then, I was like, he's not even my kid, he's my little brother. And he's like,
I get it though, it's because like, you know, he's younger than you and you want to like emulate what you couldn't have with through him, you know, like in a way, I'm assuming. And it's just like, you want him to have the childhood that you never got, you know, but that's cool that you're that kind of brother, because most brothers are like, you spoiled rotten brat, you no good, you know, lucky son of a gun. I never had this growing up. Like my brother's like that. He's 10 years older than me. And like, you know, he actually, you know, we didn't have much. We were getting by, and especially through his childhood, it was a lot more difficult. So, you know, the things that I got compared to him, I was, I guess, a lot more spoiled, you know,
Yeah,
you get what I mean? And
yeah, it's funny too, because like my mom and dad think me and my other brother, he's 24 soon. And I let him borrow my Switch one day because he wanted to play Zelda and stuff. And at the time, my brother lives with my grandparents. And so every time Parker would go over there, and while my mom and dad are doing stuff, they would babysit him, and he would watch my brother play the Switch. And then after a while, he'd be like, "Mom, Dad, I want one." And then when Austin gave it back to me, he's like, "Can I play with your Switch, Alex?" And then he's like, "Mom, I want a Switch." And then that Christmas, he's like, "I want a Switch. I want a Switch. I want." Oh my God! Every time we went to the store and saw the Switch, he's like, "Can I have this? Can I have this?"
So you like knew at that point. It was like way obvious. It's like when you get that like magazine and like just before Christmas time from like.
The toy catalog.
And then you give it to your mom and dad, right? And then you do like extra circles around the one that you want. You circle it real hard, you know? It's like, I'm sure if they saw the extra circles, they'll definitely get me that one.
Like,
you know?
The point that the ink is bleeding into the other pages behind it.
You may put like the red pen in there, you know, like.
Do you remember like back when Harry Potter movies are coming out, like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, like during that like early 2000 range where like those movies come out, and they would actually send you catalogs. You could actually buy, you know, collectibles from the actual studios. They would send you like a Lord of the Rings catalog and a Harry Potter catalog. You could actually buy like, you know, Elrond's, you know, sword, or Arwen's necklace, or Harry Potter's, you know, wand. And then like, I remember every time I got one of those, I was like, I circled, like, I wanted the chess set from Harry Potter. And I think one of them was, Aragorn's sword. I think I was never going to get that. I think it was like $400. But I remember getting those in the mail, and I was like, I want everything in these catalogs. And it was all just Lord of the Rings. And that was just back then, before like when the internet, you know, buying on the internet wasn't. So they would send you those catalogs and you'd mail it in. And that was like the collectible stuff that you see people sell for like thousands of dollars today, because those came from the actual studios.
Have you guys ever done any of those like way early days, like, the mail order situation, like X-ray glasses, or like the back of the popular science magazine, like, you know, turn your vacuum into a hovercraft, like like all these weird ones that you saw, like, you know.
I know PlayStation and Nintendo had a couple when they did their magazines. They had like a mailing thing where if you mailed it in, you got like, I forget what it was.
Yeah, like some old school gaming magazines used to have
like
them.
Nintendo Power.
Yeah, Nintendo Power used to have them.
Wait, wasn't the glove part of that, like the Nintendo glove?
Yeah, you could order the Power glove through the magazine.
Yeah, I knew that. I never got one, but yeah, I did want to cut those a couple of times. There was something else I got. I forget what it was. It was like a cheap $20 thing. I forget what it was. I don't have it anymore. I've always wanted to do that.
See, every time I would see those, I would want to do them, but my mom would always be like, "Yeah, it's a ripoff. It's never gonna show up." And it's like, "Aw, but I want it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for like those random magazines, sure, but like for the ones from like Nintendo and stuff, I trusted them, kind of, you know. But of course, I was young and naive, so you know, who knows how much money I probably, you know, wasted on stuff I probably shouldn't have.
I mean, that's me.
I think that's
these days still.
Life.
I was gonna say, I still look back at stuff I bought last week and go, I didn't need that. Why did I buy that?
Bought like an hour ago. I don't know what you're talking about.
As we speak, Brad is on Amazon.com ordering some random thing he definitely doesn't need.
I totally need this, you know, 2-scale replica of the Millennium Falcon. It's only $70 million. 2-day shipping.
That's how they get you, that free 2-day shipping.
Yeah, that free 2-day shipping. That's where they get you.
That's how they get you.
You see that, and you're just instantly like, I can afford this now. It's free shipping. If I don't buy it, I'm losing money.
That's kind of our downfall. Like, I remember back when I was a kid, I could afford this stuff. I can afford it now, and I'm going to buy it. Crap, where's my rent money?
That's always the fun thing of, am I paying for electricity this month or new video game? I mean, I need the electricity to play the video game, but if I bring the video game to my mom's house, I can still play it there.
What's the latest I can pay this bill without being disconnected? All right, a month? Okay, cool.
Dude, I'm like, I'm buying a car right now. You Brad, you know this right now. Like, I'm on like, I'm going back to the college days where it's like the ramen Taco Bell scale. It's like, how many days can I get away with eating like the cheesy bean and rice burrito like twice a week, then mix it with the ramen for like a... for the next 6 months straight so I could get these payments off, you know, and that's my life right now.
You know, if I keep those grass shavings from mowing the lawn earlier, I can make that into a salad.
You have no idea. Dude, I actually kept grass shavings to sod over the stuff that I'm like reseeding right now. Just because I was too cheap to buy the damn sod, I got seed and I was like, let me use grass shavings to like put on top of it to cover it so it doesn't go away when it's, dude, adulting.
I was going to say, that doesn't work at all. That's
yeah, I trust me.
You're literally just putting grass on dirt and just going, I'm sure this will work.
Yeah,
exactly. It'll regrow, yeah, I'm sure.
It's like dusting it under the rug, you know, it's just like, you know, see what happens.
And then you go out the next day, it's just all gone. It blew away with the wind. Well, actually, that solves that problem.
What happened the next day is a bunch of birds came in and took all the dead grass away, and then they like messed up the seed. So it was just like, whatever.
Yeah, so you're even worse off.
But I mean, you got like, you know, house insurance, you got car insurance, property taxes, you got all these adulting things, health insurance that you have to take care of. And then on top of that, the normal bills, you know.
Yeah, cell adulting phone. Sucks.
Yeah, adulting sucks, man. And then,
it does.
You know, you got this reality that this one store that had the greatest slogan ever.
Yeah, you can always be a kid if you go to Toys R Us.
You can be a kid if you could go there. You know, it's kind of lost and it makes you wonder, you know, there's going to be a whole generation of kids that are not going to have this weird wonder of or opportunity.
There's already a generation out there that will not understand or will not be able to hear the jingle for Toys R Us and immediately think, I'll always be a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It that in itself kind of makes you shed a tear of just going, oh no, this is bad.
Yeah. Especially for the kids who, you know, are who are old enough right now to know what Toys R Us is, you know, one of their favorite stores just to close on them. You know, they can't go to that store anymore, you know, for people who are kids who are 5, 6 years old, you know, they understand, you know, I want to go to Toys R Us, and now they have to say, sorry, it's closed. And, you know, like I said, Target and Walmart, they don't have the same.
It's not
you
the
know,
same.
No.
It's not the same. It's not. You can't go into that place and then look in a world of wonder that everything around you is a toy.
Yeah, you know? Literally can't go from action figures to Legos in the same kind of, like, atmosphere of it literally from the bottom shelf to all the way to the ceiling.
Like, when you were a kid, going there was an experience. You know what I mean, in a way? And, like, now you got, like, Legoland. You know, you got to pay admission and, like, go do it.
I mean, the closest thing you have, really, like I said, like, Legoland, Disney. You know, when you go to Disney, that's, like, an experience.
But those are separate
stores.
But that's,
stores. Like, a, dude, separate, that's like yeah. a big deal. Like, that's, you know, it's a lot more money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to be, like, really spoiled.
Yeah, Disney was a really rare thing when I was little.
Yeah. Even now, I think a lot of kids, that's a rare thing.
Well, hold on. Do you remember the Warner Brothers store?
Yeah, I remember the Warner Brothers store a little bit.
Yeah.
I remember that. But
I remember that being a big deal, going to the Warner Brothers store at the mall.
Yeah, because it had way more variety of things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was
Animaniacs, yeah.
Yeah, Animaniacs, Looney Tunes, Batman. Because, yeah, DC was done by WB at that time still.
All the animated series, like all the action figures from that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was that was a good store that went away. It reminds me of that, I think it was called like Tower DVD or something like that.
Tower Records?
Tower Records.
Yeah, Tower Records.
I had one of those.
Yeah. That was a place.
They had
be
a place in that, like in Birmingham off of Woodward there, you know, but I never went there all that often. I went there a couple times. but it was always pricey.
Yeah, I know FYE like replaced it.
FYE took way over that. Yeah,
yeah, they're kind of going away too. Last few times.
What other
went...
brands you guys think might be going away? I mean, we talked about like Kmart a little bit.
I know there's a store that me and Brad know that may be selling their assets of a. We're not gonna say the name this time. So
is it
GameStop? Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, but that's public information.
Yeah, that's public information. Yeah.
So we're not nothing on the rumor mill about that. They are looking for buyers.
Yeah, they're actually looking to be bought out by the same company that bought out Hot Topic. So even if GameStop sticks around, it's gonna completely change if that happens. Because Hot Topic before that sale and Hot Topic now are two completely different stores.
Yeah, they evolved. Yep. They did.
Hot Topic has done well. They've been doing very well. And funny thing was that GameStop was originally looking to buy Hot Topic at one point. Back when ThinkGeek was going to be acquired, Hot Topic was interested in ThinkGeek, but then GameStop bought it. But GameStop was ready to buy Hot Topic if they got ThinkGeek because they wanted ThinkGeek so bad. So they were actually ready to buy them at one time. But yeah, Hot Topic is doing really well. I highly doubt they're going to go anywhere.
Yeah, Hot Topic changed from that place of, I'm an outsider, here's my store, to pop culture.
Emo kids are thriving.
Yeah.
Not anymore, they're not.
You know,
not a Hot Topic.
It's an evolutionary trait. It's like, you know, was it Emo kids of the 2000s, you know, were the big hair 80s kids of the 80s, you know, like.
It's
a generational thing, I think, for me. Like.
Unless you're going around going, that person dyed their hair, they're obviously emo. Hot Topic isn't for emo kids anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
No.
So they pivoted.
They completely pivoted. They're a pop culture store now.
Pop culture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still got Spencer's Gifts. I don't know if you guys have them down south, but.
Where I used to live, yeah, there's one in the mall right across from Hot Topic in the mall. But there's one there. But yeah, FYE's going to go. I think FYE's going to go away.
FYE's going to go soon.
Yeah, I think that. They're the same thing with their movies. They're overpriced. They never have good sales. Their music, you know, Best Buy, actually, they stopped selling CDs in stores.
Yeah, they did.
They started June 1st, I think it was, because my roommate, he had to pack up all the things and they shipped it back. They're still selling them online, but just in brick and mortar, they're not selling CDs anymore.
That's a lot of quality shelf space that they could use for other things.
Oh, it's probably going to go all to like movies
a square footage, you know.
Yeah.
They'll still get, I think they said they're still going to do like the big hits. They'll probably send like the big hits and put it like on the end cap next to like the new releases for the movies. But like they're not going to have an entire section. So they'll do like, you know, the next, you know, Drake, you know, soundtrack or
most
CD
CDs
or,
that
you know,
sell.
Something like that.
I'm noticing even at like Target, they're like soundtracks. They're not even like single artists or anything.
Oh yeah,
it's like The Greatest Showman or something like that, or the new Mamma Mia that's coming out.
Oh, and that The Greatest Showman was ridiculous. Finding that CD, that thing sold out so quick.
Yeah, the CDs that actually sell the most are like the sing along karaoke kind of CDs.
Oh, really?
Those are the ones that sell.
No way.
Yeah, so if you actually go through and look at like the top sold CDs, not songs and stuff digitally, CDs, physical discs. First one is always country because those people haven't figured out digital exists yet.
They're kind of old school.
Then it's always like karaoke or those greatest hit CDs like Now Music 517. You know, those are the ones that are the top sellers. You know, you don't see rock or rap or anything else making those top, you know, even top 10 anymore, really, for sold CDs are always just country or they're those karaoke and kind of stuff for physical releases.
I can't even think of anything physically that I would want to buy aside from maybe like a soundtrack and at this point I'd get a vinyl. Because it's like the whole, you know, trait thing with that. That's coming back.
There's a couple bands that I know if they came back and released a CD, I would buy the CD in a heartbeat. But
well,
for the most part.
That's because you want it. Not
right.
Because of like, you know.
Yeah, it would stay sealed and then I'd buy it digitally as well.
Yeah, you're doing it for the support of the artist.
Right.
Yeah, like I do that when I go to concerts. I'll buy the CD because I know I could get an autograph on it. You know, yeah, I'm probably never going to pop that in a player in my life, but hey, I got a signature with my name from the artist, you know, and that's cool. That's, it's what I like, and that's cool to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially with these, you know, services like Apple Music and Google Music, where you can just pay $15 a month and, you know, get all the music, you know, like for me, like I like God of War, I have the soundtrack. Westworld season two, like I just added to my library. So like, if I want to buy the physical copy, I buy the game or I buy the soundtrack and then I just add it to my Apple Music and then I can just listen. I don't have to worry about ever opening it or anything else like that.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, after FYE, there's.
What about like, you remember Sam's Club closed like a bunch of stores?
Sam's Club isn't going anywhere.
You don't think so? Because of Wally World is just taking over?
No, Sam's Club is always going to be around. Same with Costco because
Costco's different than Sam's Club because Sam's Club is owned by Walmart.
Right.
And I think that Walmart's trying to really – it's trying very, very hard to compete with Amazon at the moment.
Yeah, Sam's Club is always going to be around. I don't see
–
If any of those places that do close, I don't know if you guys have one where I think it's called BJ's Warehouse.
No, we don't have those here.
You don't have any of those. I know that's because the big three that I know of are Sam's Club, Costco, and BJ's Warehouse. And I think that if any of those do close, it would be BJ's Warehouse. Costco would definitely not go anywhere.
Costco's never going to – dude, they're going to be there for thousands of years.
Same with IKEA. IKEA would never go away ever. I don't think IKEA would ever go away, but I mean, Home Depot will be around forever.
Lowe's ain't gonna go.
Lowe's is just uppity Home Depot.
I'm wondering, like, what I mean, we're getting off track here, but like clothing stores, I don't know. Like,
well, Carson's is closing now.
Carson's,
yeah,
I don't have one.
Carson's, Bonton, and one other one.
Steinmart,
that I can't remember.
I think, is one of them.
I think JCPenney's is slowly going away.
JCPenney might be on the horizon.
Sears is going out.
See, that's the thing about Sears that I'm really reluctant about is Craftsman.
Dillard's like, went away.
In Craftsman, you get that lifetime warranty and all the tools. So for decades, you know, people have been buying these tools thinking that if there's ever a problem with them, they could just take it back. And I don't know how that situation is going to be handled if they're gone.
Craftsman as a company will probably subsection
sold,
off.
Yeah,
and
sold off.
They'll start selling their tools everywhere.
Probably just get it and sell to another organization like Husky or something else and just like sell it off. That's my biggest fear about
Sears. Because
they're
quality tools. They'll survive
somehow. It's a warranty.
That one brand name will survive just because everybody knows Craftsman.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That would be like trying to kill off, you know.
Gillette, yeah.
Yeah. It's a brand name that people just know. Or Kleenex.
Mm-hmm.
Kleenex is never going to go away. Even if Kleenex went away, we'd still call tissue Kleenex.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things like, oh, can I have a Kleenex? You know, it's just one of those things.
I gotcha.
You know?
But yeah.
It's sad. It's like,
my childhood is
going
away.
We literally had an episode of Back in My Day. Yeah. You know, that's what just happened just now.
Do you remember when?
And it's funny, too, is that because a lot of us we're, you know, within only a few years of, you know, age of each other. So we all remember this. It's not like, you know, we have someone who's, you know, 18 who probably didn't know all this.
I'm listening to Alex. And he's like, you remember when Harry Potter had those catalogs? And I'm like, God, I remember Harry Potter in high school. What are you talking about?
I remember pushing a kid in his locker for liking Harry Potter.
Way to go, bro.
I feel like so old and I'm like talking about this, but hey, you know, it comes and goes, I guess.
The fun thing is just all these stores that closed, and at the same time, we went through a bunch of them and we didn't really even mention Circuit City, which was a huge one. Media Play was huge. I know around
Michigan.
Media
Play, yeah.
There's a lot of stores that pretty much they are my childhood and they're just gone now.
One thing that we got to take note on is that there's an evolutionary step that's happening here in retail and in commerce, which is it's moving primarily to online.
Yeah.
And that's the trend with all these stores. It would be a different story if, you know, decades ago when we didn't have the internet and it wasn't so predominant. And I think if they were going out of business because they were, you know, too big to fail or spreading themselves too thin, not reacting to that, be one thing, but they're not reacting to the technology aspect to retail, you know, and that's an important thing.
Or they're
look.
Reacting
yeah.
in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just about, it's an evolutionary thing as a business that you need to do in general, not just, you know, you got to work with what you have. It's nature, you know, it's the environment that you're in. And it's crazy to see all these companies like boom and bust. You know?
A lot of companies are going to go out in the future. I don't think any are going to hit as hard as Toys R Us, though, in the coming like decade or even two decades. I don't think a store going out is going to hit as hard as Toys R Us does.
No,
for at least my generation.
Oh, yeah, like emotionally speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I mean,
seeing Toys R Us gone is like one of those moments of driving by and going, that's just an empty store now.
That's literally a generation going by.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a store that was designed for children in mind, and it was an experience in that it's something you don't really captivate anymore unless if it's like an amusement park or something. You know, it's not something that you would go to as a special moment on a weekend, you know, as you were dragged around with your mom at the mall for 4 hours, then finally got the chance to go there if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing is, it this year, like last year was what, its 60th anniversary?
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Like 1957 or something like that. So like they basically announced they're going to close, you know, on their 60th anniversary. They've been around for a long time. And this is almost like, you know, it's almost half a century worth of, you know, just memories and stuff that not just for us, but for people back in the day, you know, from their 60s and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yeah, but that is all the time that we have here on The Breakfast Table. But you can catch a backlog of our episodes on iTunes and Google Play, and we will catch you next time.
Have a great holiday, guys.